for the call for him.
We don't know. We would just be speculating.
Maybe he's got a shipment coming in today.
Chocolate biscuits. Okay, so we'll start from the Mishnah on Ayin Hey. Okay, so this perek is all dealing with a husband nullifying the nedarim of his wife. So now we come to, we've actually mentioned this in passing before, but now we come to the Mishnah, the Ha'imer le'ishtoi. So the fellow says to his wife, Kol ha'nedarim she'taduri mikan atra ovei mokim pleni. Any nedarim that you make from here until I come back from my overseas trip to wherever I'm going, mokim pleni. The Raz Medayik over here, that why doesn't he say from now? He says mikan. Mikan means from here. Usually he would say from now until I come back. Why does he say from here until I come back? Because he's stressing that he doesn't want this statement to take effect until he leaves here.
75A1.
So it's from here, when I leave here, until I come back. But I mean, as if she happened to sneak a vow in before he left, he's leaving tomorrow and she sneaks one in tonight, then that doesn't count. That's not part of his statement. So that's why he says, Mikan. Mikan cha'ad cha'ava mokim ploini.
So when we make that Adovah Sadovah Me'ov, Lashon Shana, we say Mikan ala Haba, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What do you mean there with the Mikan?
Lashon B'nai Yodah Mikan ala Haba usually means from now on, even though it means here.
Yes.
But the Ran's Medayik over here, because it doesn't say Me'achshov. But of course, with the Dorim, you always go after Lashon B'nai Yodah, so I suppose with Haforos Nadorim, you also go after Lashon B'nai Yodah. Okay, so that's what he means, says the Ran. What does he say to her? So all of those vows, Harehen Kayomin. So if he says that he wants to accept and confirm those vows, then Loi Omar Klum. That doesn't work. You cannot in advance, without knowing what's going to happen, if you make a vow next week when I'm not here, then it's automatically confirmed. He cannot do that. We'll see in a minute why. If he says Harehen Muforim, but if he says that he wants to nullify those vows, then is a machloikis. Then we have Rabbi Eliezer, Rebbe Mufar. Rabbi Eliezer says he can nullify vows in advance, even though he doesn't know what she's going to say and he hasn't heard them. He can say in advance, "I'm telling you that I'm nullifying them." And the Chachamim ain't a Mufar, and the Chachamim say he cannot do it. Okay, so we can understand in simple terms, why would you say he cannot do it? Because it says that the husband's got to hear what she says. The way it's written in Chumash is that the husband hears the vow and he nullifies it. Yeah. So the automatic implication from the simple reading of the Psukim would be that he has to hear about it, right? So there's no question. We wouldn't ask a kasha when he says Arayin Kayom and why lo yomar klum, because he didn't hear about it, so he can't confirm it. The question is over here: why does Rabbi Eliezer say that he can nullify it? Chachamim say you can't confirm it, you can't nullify it. You didn't hear about it, then you can't say anything. And Rabbi Eliezer says that you can nullify it. So Rabbi Eliezer explains himself. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, im hefer nedarim shabal dechlal iser. The Torah gave him the power to nullify a vow that has already taken effect. She makes a vow at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that vow is valid. She's not allowed to do whatever she says she's not allowed to do. He hears about it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that means for the last 5 hours, that neder was completely on the ball. And if she transgressed, she's done an aver. Yeah. But nevertheless, he can hear about it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and go, no, I'm canceling. So he can cancel something that's already osur. He can cancel something that's already come to Isser. Lo yofer nedarim shaloi bol lichlal Isser. Can't he nullify something that's not Osir yet? What's easier to cancel? A vow that's already in effect or a vow that hasn't even started yet? You would say it's easier to nullify something that hasn't started yet. That's not Osir yet. So it's weaker. So if he can nullify something that's already going strong, then he can for sure nullify something that isn't going strong. That's the logic of Rabbi Eliezer. Is Amrulai, so they said to him, your Kavachem is very interesting, but Harehu Aimer, but the Pasuk says in Parshas Matos, Isha Yekimenu v'Isha Yeferenu, that any vow made by a wife, the husband either confirms it or he denies it. And it compares the hakama to the hafara. It compares, like we've had a few times, the denying to the confirming to the nullifying. And from that we learn Esha Balikhal Hakim, that which he can confirm, Balikhal Hafer, he has the power to nullify. Loi Balikhal Hakim, something that didn't get into a state where you can confirm it, i.e. she hasn't made it yet, is Loi Balikhal Hafer. He cannot nullify it either. So Rabbi Eliezer has a kalva chomer to say that he can nullify vows in advance from his wife, and the Chachamim have a hekish to compare the confirming with the nullifying. Just like you cannot confirm things in advance, you cannot nullify things in advance either. So that's the Mishnah. Now we'll go on. Oibay lahu, says the Gemara. The question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the husband can nullify things in advance, what does that mean exactly, nullifying something in advance? Is it mechal cholin? Is the pshat that the neder takes effect when she says it, or betelin, and then immediately kicks in? It automatically triggers his hafara. Yeah. So just like when he would be here, she makes a neder. 2 minutes later, he says, "Not, nah, I cancel it." So therefore, even though he's not here, what he's saying is that you'll make a neder, and the neder will momentarily take effect, and then my nullification will come in over the top and stop it. So is that, that's one way of looking at it, that the neder takes effect and then gets nullified. We'll see in a minute, who cares? Aydilma loichalin klal. Or is it the pshat that it prevents it from happening in the first place? Yeah. So is it that the vow takes effect and it's cancelled straight away, or never took effect in the first place? So the Gemara says, is lamanaf gemina. So the simple question is, who cares? What's the difference? Either way, as soon as she makes it, if it didn't happen in the first place or it happened 1 second later, who cares? It's nullified. Turn the page. Answers the Gemara, kigoin the ispis achrina bahadai nidra. What happened is somebody else came along and he wanted to extend and make his vow dependent on her vow. So, well, let's say she says, I'm a nazir. Yeah? So, normal case, if someone says, I'm a nazir, and someone else hears that person say that and goes, me too. So it's chal on the second one. As long as it takes effect on the first one, then it takes effect on the second one. And if a third person hears the second guy and goes, me too, then if it took effect for the second guy, it works for the third guy also. So it's a whole chain domino effect. Now, if this vow that the wife makes takes effect and then cancels, that means that if someone said, vani, or even he said himself, or whatever, who somebody, he wasn't there, but somebody else said, me too, then if the vow takes effect and is then cancelled, because when the person said, me too, he's referring to the fact that she took on this vow, then it affects him also. And his vow is valid, and if he wants to get out of it, he has to, you know, all the rules of vows take effect. Yeah? Iyamarta cholin, that means, says the Gemara, if you'll tell me the vow takes effect and is cancelled a minute later, or a second later, havit fisusa. It's a link, right? So the second person's vow will take effect. If you'll tell me that the vow never, it prevents the vow from taking effect in the first place, then there's nothing to worry about, because the first one didn't take effect. If I come up to somebody who is not under a vow when I say me too, then my me too is rubbish, because the other person wasn't under the neder in the first place. So then a person came along and said me too, it would not take effect. That is the question. I'll just do outside, because the interesting things that Ron brings over here. Or I can do it. No, it'll take too long to do inside, I think. Yeah, let's do it outside. The Ron brings over here two points. First of all, we had a question later on, earlier on, if a person has a piece of carbon shlomim sitting in front of him, yeah, there was a carbon and they shechted it, and it's Srikas Adam, everything was all kosher, and now the piece of meat is sitting on his kitchen table, in Yerushalayim, of course, because he can't take a shlomim outside of Yerushalayim, yeah. And then he brings another piece of meat out of the freezer, and he goes, this should be the same as that. Zeh kazeh. This should be like that. So we had a question. Does he mean it should be like that? Now, what's the din of a shlomim, of a carbon shlomim? It's edible by anybody. Yeah, the owner eats it. So what's the story with this meat? The meat is not osur to eat. Before he sprinkled the blood, then the meat is osur to eat. You're not allowed to eat the meat until the blood is sprinkled of the carbon. So when he says this should be like that, does he mean this should be like that was originally when I first made it Kodesh and I couldn't eat it, and therefore this is like Kodesh as well and I cannot eat it? Or does he mean this is like this now? And since now I can eat it, so then I can eat it too.
Yeah, but I can eat it, but this piece of meat that took out of the fridge you could eat anywhere, whereas the shlomi cannot eat your life.
Oh, okay. No,
and so on.
No, but in order to make it a neder, he's got to say it's Kodesh. Mm. Right? And he didn't say, I'm making a neder not to eat this after Shalim. He says, Ekazer, yeah? So if he says Ekazer, so the question was which one he's going, and the conclusion is, in the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph, says the Ran, that it's not Chal, that he's talking about now. He says, this is like this. If I'm allowed to eat this, I'm allowed to eat that. And therefore, there's no neder, there's no Hektish going on over here. So therefore, over here, if the woman says, I'm a Nazir, yeah, and a guy says me too, but you're telling me that the second she said it, instantaneously kicks, even if it's chal, but instantaneously kicks in the cancellation from the husband. By the time this person goes me too, she's already off the hook. So his me too should also be chal on the way she is now. And right now she's not a nazir, so he should be me too, I'm not a nazir. So even if it's chal.
And if the meat from the freezer, he doesn't have to say anything. It's allowed anyway.
Okay. He didn't have to say anything. But let's say he said it. So we're saying what you said doesn't count. People sometimes talk rubbish. So he said it. Yeah, a person wants to make a neder, he has to make it in a way that's chal. Yeah. So he said, if he said this meat is like this hat, yeah, then he's just talking.
It means nothing.
He's got to say it properly. So the same thing. If a nazir is there and he goes me too, as if she was a nazir yesterday, but now she's not a nazir, then the me too doesn't work with Chayra. Yeah, it's right now. She's not a nazir. So that's the question that Rana asks, and he says it's different because by the meat, the answer is it's different. By the meat, when he says ze kazeh, yeah, then what does he mean? This is like this. So simple translation: this is I'm allowed to eat now. This is like this. I'm allowed to eat it now. Yeah. But over here, when she says, I'm a Nazir, and he goes, me too. What's the me too going on? The me too is going on the words that she says. Yeah. When she says, I'm a Nazir, and he goes, me too, it's going on those words. As long as those words were valid words, then his me too is valid. It's not the pshat that he's saying. He doesn't say, I'm like her. If he would say, I'm like her, then he would be like her. If she's already off the hook, then he's off the hook too. But if when she says the words, I'm a Nazir, and he goes, me too, the me too is going on the words, Hareni Nazir. The me too is not going on the, I'm like her. It's a subtle difference, yeah? So therefore, the Ran says, even though in the case of the meat, it's clearly not chal, but over here, it could be that if would be chal, it would be chal, it would count.
No, it's like saying, what she says applies to me,
yeah,
against what she is applies
that's
to
right.
Me.
Like if he goes what she said, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying what she is, he goes what she said. So then that's the other one. Okay. And the other question that the Ran asks over here is: we know that when we have that domino effect, so if somebody says I'm a Nazir, and someone else come along and says me too, and another one says me too, and they go a chain of 100 people, they all said me too. And the previous guy, if the first guy is mevatel the neder, then they're all domino. They're all out. Yeah. So the question again is, even if it's chal, so she said I'm a Nazir, and someone else said I'm a Nazir, and let's say it takes effect. But we're saying that what? That her neder is immediately cancelled by the husband's pre-cancellation. Yeah? So once she cancels it, anyone who's dependent on her should be cancelled too.
But they don't know that.
Okay, that's a separate question. Okay, so they don't know. That means that maybe they think they're a Nazir, but they're not. But the truth of the matter is that if someone is maspis his neder on someone else, and the first guy's cancelled, then the second guy's cancelled too. We learned that before, yeah? So he goes to the chacham and his mater neder. Yeah, I'll make a neder, I'm not going to eat chocolate biscuits, yeah? And you wouldn't say you too, but say, I'll say me too, yeah? So what happens? And then I change my mind, and I go to the chacham, and I say, if I would have known there's going to be such a breakfast in the morning with those chocolate biscuits, I never would have made this neder. Yeah, so the chacham is... nullifies my vow. So anybody else who said me too is also off the hook. We learned that before, yeah.
Although they may not know
it. They may not know it. Okay, but it would be, that's true. They may not know it, but they'll find out, and that'll be the case. So the question is over here: if she says, even if we say it does take effect on her, but once she's cancelled, then anyone who dominoed from her should be cancelled as well. So the Ran answers, there's a difference between when the husband nullifies and when a chacham nullifies. We learned, how does a chacham nullify a vow? A chacham nullifies a vow by saying, if you would have known X, Y, Z, would you have still made the vow? And he says, no. So he turns it into a mistaken neder, which never, like he retrospectively gets rid of it.
The husband simply dictates.
That's right. The husband cancels it from now on. He's not getting rid of the vow. The Torah just gave him a power to cancel it from now on. And that's the difference. And therefore,
so if... it's a different style.
It's a different word. It's a different word, and there's subtle different. There are subtle different implications.
The bottom line is the same.
They
just use a different style.
The bottom line is the same for the person who's getting it nullified, but the bottom line is different for somebody who attaches. No, for attaches. Because what happens is, if you say that the vow is cancelled retrospectively and never took effect in the first place, then when Reuven made a vow, then Shimon, Levi, Yehuda all made their vows based on Reuven's, then it's all cancelled because the first vow never took effect. If it's cancelled from now on, then you're cancelling only Reuven from now on, and Shimon, Levi go on and their vow still takes effect, which is what we're saying over here. That if we would say by the woman that if her vow did take effect for a second before it got cancelled and someone else attached themselves to that vow, because that vow is only cancelled from now on, it's not oikir meikari, it's not removed and that it should never take click off in the first place, then it would be chal for the second guy. So that's the question. So those are two interesting points that Ran brings about this. Okay, back in the Gemara, on the third line from the top, so the question...
What do you do, Ran's when it gets to this stage of writing?
And the Dorian for some...
Somebody who learns Gemara probably has to do with that.
For some, yeah, for some...
All of a sudden the Rashi's cancelled out.
There's a rumor that what says Rashi here on the Dorian was not really written by Rashi. So they don't know, we don't know who it is. The truth is, I cheat sometimes and look in there, whoever he is, whether it's Rashi or not, because the Ran has a whole different style, as you know. The Ran is not just giving a simple explanation. The Ran gives you extra questions. And
he's a bit like Tosfos.
Yeah, he's a bit more sort of discussion and pilpul or whatever. But sometimes if you need help with a simple trap, even this guy, whether he's Rashi or not, helps you. But the tradition seems to be that this isn't really Rashi, and therefore the custom is to learn the...
For the
Holon Adorim, yeah. It's all right, we're almost finished.
I just wonder why Sunny Rashi, and if there's a doubt whether it was Rashi, why is Rashi written here?
I don't know. The printer printed in. It might be that it is Rashi, but if you look in the style, it is slightly different. I mean, not that I'm such an expert on styles, but it seems like it's slightly different. But the Ran, I mean, if you have time to do the Ran definitely adds more juiciness onto what you're learning.
Well, that would be better all the time, actually.
Yeah.
Because Rashi, when I do Chumash, Rashi often says, shouldn't say, like, oh, childlike. He repeats the same. Yeah. Or he doesn't give an expression where it's needed. Or it makes it clear as mud.
Yeah. Well, Rashi and Chumash says that it's for the Ben Chumash Lemikra.
Yeah, but Chumash, if I don't understand, how would the Chumash Lemikra?
Yeah, that's why the Rebbe has all those sikhs where he says, how come a five-year-old person understands this?
Says Lemikra. We're saying.
But the style of Rashi and the Gemara is actually quite different than Rashi and Chumash, I think.
With all due respect, in the Chumash, you'd need a better commentary than Rashi. Yes, maybe the Ran. And Rashi is very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Maybe. Oh, there's all the.
You might say something like, I don't know, the meat is kosher, and the Rashi will say the meat is kosher. He's just repeating his own.
That's
20 volumes.
What bothered Rashi to make this?
The Rebbe said a sicha about a Rashi every week, and every week he asks questions like that.
Well, the Rebbe's explanations are much, much clearer.
Yeah.
Because I know when I do sicha.
Yeah. You're right.
Minions or something.
You're right.
I mean, the Rebbe should be in the commentary on the Chumash.
Well, yeah, you can get a Chumash which got the Rebbe's explanations on the Rashi. Okay, let's go on here. Toshima. So the question is, which one is it? Is it cancelled from now on, or is it cancelled from beforehand? Just Toshima, let's try to prove it from the statement of Rabbi Elazar himself. Rabbi Elazar, it's according to Rabbi Elazar we're trying to find out, yeah? So what does Rabbi Elazar say? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Im hefer nedarim shebatul lechal iser. His words are, if he can nullify a vow that's already taken effect, la yofer nedarim shaloi bo lechal iser, can he not nullify a vow that didn't even take effect yet? So what does that mean? That he's nullifying something that didn't take effect yet. Is Shemami not? So from those words, we seem to be learning, Lo Echolin, that they don't take effect. Because he's saying he's the Kal V'chomer is that he can nullify something that didn't take effect. So that means it didn't take effect. Says the Gemara, no. Mika Tani She'en and Boyin. It doesn't mean that they're not going to take effect. Shlo Bo Katani means chronologically it hasn't taken effect yet. So what he's saying is he can nullify a vow when he says it before it's taken effect, even though it will take effect and then it gets cancelled. He's not saying that he prevents it from taking effect, that it would never take effect. What he's saying is that if he can nullify a vow after it's taken effect, he can definitely do it in advance that he's going to cancel it once it takes effect.
True. So what's
a die and lobo?
So how does that help somebody who wants to be matfis? According to what the Gemara finishes here, you can't prove from here.
We can't prove from here. Yeah, so you can't prove either way. That mikatoni is just an opshlog. It means you can't prove it either way. From those words, it could be.
So it could be holds that there is something there which you can matfis.
Yes or not? We don't. So that we haven't been able to prove it from that. So we go on. Toshima, we'll try again. Amar lehen Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said to the Chachamim, "Uma b'mokim she'ein mefer nidre atzmai." In a place where a person cannot nullify his own vow. If a person made a vow and then he heard himself say it and he goes, "I'm canceling my vow," you can't do that. The person wants to cancel his own vow, he has to go to a chacham and he has to get some kind of a loophole, etc. He can't just go, mufur, I don't want it. Yeah, so he can't do that for himself, mishanoda, once he's made a vow. Mefer nidre atzmoi achalo yotu, but in advance, you can. We do it every Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, we say all the vows, hataras nedarim, shimon ha-rabosei, and we say that all the vows that I'm...
You're not doing it yourself. You're not canceling your own vow without the presence of other people.
That's a good point. It actually is in Besdin, isn't it? Because the Ran even brings that we do this in Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's interesting. Although what the Gemara says, we actually said before, we didn't actually say that he has to do it in Besdin. We do it in Besdin. It's true. So according to what we do, you got a good question. But the Gemara itself doesn't actually say that you need a Besdin for a Taras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara just says if you want your vows not to take effect, you get up on Erev Rosh Hashanah and you say this. So maybe strictly speaking, you don't even need a Besdin. It's only something that we added on extra later on. The question is better than my answer, but they both the Ran and this Rashi guy mentioned this Rosh Hashanah thing, and that's what they're talking about. So it must be that there was a point in time where it wasn't done through a Besdin. And also, when we do that Hataras Nedarim in the morning, if you have a real neder and you go to a chacham, he's got to find a loophole. If you would have known this, would you have made the neder? But they don't do that on Rosh Hashanah. No one says.
No,
if you would have known.
No, but there must have been a reason why.
Why we have a Besdin. Maybe it's just to do it in public for, I don't know why. But it looks like, even if you didn't have a Besdin, that would still work. If you said Hataras Nedarim without a Besdin, it looks like it still works. Because it says that a Nidre Atzmai, Achla Yidr, a person can nullify his own vows in advance, before they happen, and say any vow that I make during this coming year should be batal. So if a person can do that, is Makim Shemefer Nidre Ishtai Misha Tador. With his wife's vows, the Torah said you can cancel it even after it's already taken effect. Is Eino Dinsha Yofer Nidre Ishtai Achlai Tador? Isn't it a Kal V'chomer that she can nullify? He can nullify her vows in advance? Yeah, something that he cannot nullify once it's Chal. He can nullify in advance. So when he can do it once it's Chal, it's for sure he can do it in advance. And my love, and isn't it? And therefore, and how does it work? The Ishtai Dumya Delay. That the nullification of his wife's vow, says Rabbi Elazar, is the same as the nullification of his own vow. Mahu deloy chaylin. When we say Hataras Nedarim and Rosh Hashanah, we say lo yehein cholin klal l'klal. Those are the words that we use. It should never take effect in the first place. We're not saying I want to cancel it once it takes effect. We're saying I don't want it to take effect in the first place. So that means that since Rabbi Elazar compares it to the wife, that means Rabbi Elazar seems to be saying that by the wife also, it shouldn't be chal in the first place. That seems to answer our question. Says the Gemara, no, just because he compares a husband to a wife in that aspect with the Kal V'chomer, it doesn't mean that every single detail is the same. I could say, Hakka de Issa, Hakka de Issa. By the man himself, it's that it's not chal at all, and by the wife, it could be that it's chal and it's cancelled a second later. So it doesn't prove that it's going to be to work that way. And again, you'll ask, why should it be any different? And it goes back to what we said before, that the way a person nullifies his own vow to make it a mistake. Because what do we say? If I forget that I cancelled all my vows, then it doesn't matter because I'm doing it anyway. What does that mean? That when he makes the vow later on during the year, it's like a toast. It's a mistake. Because he forgot that he cancelled it already.
So based on what you're saying, if we know that people make this Atalas Nadal and Rosh Hashanah with a formula, and then another person hears this guy say, you should actually ask him, did you make Atalas Nadal? Because if I say I'm a Nazir...
Correct.
No, if he makes it later in the year, that's a new story.
No. But if he cancels it in advance...
It's not a new story.
So when you cancel it in advance, what you're doing is, you are saying that if I forget that I cancelled it, or if I change my mind or whatever, that's a mistake. I don't mean it, because I'm saying now that I cancel it. So therefore, that's why the net is never chal. Yeah? But by the wife, again, the way a wife's vow is nullified is different. There, the husband doesn't cancel it from the first place. He cancels it from now on. And therefore, it could be, that's why Hokka de Issa, could be that even though we have this Kavah Homer, but it's two different methods. Okay, Toshima. Amal, Belezer tries to bring, now the Gemara brings a proof of what Belezer says about a mikveh. Oma mikveh shemalas hatzmeyim mitumason. A mikveh, when a person's tomer, he goes in the mikveh, and it makes him toher. Yeah, but ein matzel ala tohorim militame. But it cannot make somebody who's, it cannot stop someone who's from toher from becoming tomer. So if a person goes in a mikveh and there's a dead frog floating there with him, and he's playing with the frog in the mikveh, it doesn't stop, the fact that he's in the mikveh does not stop him from becoming tummy. Yeah? So therefore, even though it can stop you once you're tummy, it can help you, but it cannot prevent you from becoming tummy. Is Adam Shein Malas Atzmei Mitzumah. The Ran brings three gears over here. I'll just read what it says here because of time. Adam Shein Malas Atzmei Mitzumah. A person who cannot stop something tomei from becoming, cannot make something tomei become toher, how much more so it cannot stop something that's toher from becoming tomei. So according to one of the gears of the Ran, it's talking about not tumo, but it's talking about nedorim directly, and it says that a mikveh can't make somebody, even though it can stop someone from tomei from being tomei, but it can't stop them from getting tomei in the first place. So the same way, a husband can stop his wife's vow and he can't stop her vow from coming in the first place. The wording is a bit difficult. The Ran brings a whole lot of things. And then the Ran brings another version of the story that it's not about a mikveh, it's about a tumah. If a person has swallowed a ring, whether it makes it tumah, that's a very complicated thing. But the upshot is the same, but he learns it differently. That if a person swallows a ring, he can stop it from... He can. So if he goes into the mikveh with the ring in him, and then he spits out the ring. So,
but when you go to the mikveh, every part of you has to be toiled, but not the inside. So
that's right.
So if you swallow a ring, what's
while it's in you, it's toiled. But if you
become toiled as a result of being inside you,
no.
No, it doesn't help. If you spit out the ring after you toivel, the ring is still tommy. Yeah. So that's the Odom Ein Malas that's made me to Mosom. Yeah. So that's a bit of a convoluted comparison. But what he's trying to say is that there are things where we see that it's easier to actually stop something that's already taken effect than to stop it from happening in the first place. Rabbi Leder's whole argument is, if a husband can stop a vow that's already taken effect, he can for sure stop it from coming in the first place. And so the Omelot, Rabbi Leder, I'll give you an example of something other way around, where it's easier to stop it once it's taken effect than to stop it from happening in the first place. And then the simple thing is the mikveh. Yeah, the mikveh stops a person's already tummy, it stops it from being tummy, but it doesn't stop it from becoming tummy if it touches a dead frog. Ishma mino. So, but from the words of this answer that they gave him, the rabbi said to Rabbi Lezer, it sounds like Rabbi Lezer was trying to say it shouldn't take effect in the first place. Ishma mino loy chaylin. So therefore, we learn from this that what Rabbi Lezer was saying is that it's not chal. And that's why the rabbis argued back against him. Yeah?
If he has the power to make it shouldn't take in the first place, is that a sort of blanket thing? My wife has no power to make Nadorim at all,
if that's what.
Anyway.
No, there is the whatever category he's entitled to. Yeah, that's right. That's Torah gave a husband the power to say. The Gemara says the logic is because when a woman makes a vow, she really had in mind that she's like. It's assumed that she's doing it as long as her husband doesn't mind. They had different women in those days, and therefore, based on that assumption, if he says I do mind. Then,
in other words, he would be saying that she cannot make any vows at all.
She can't make any vows without him. Yeah, he has the power to stop all of her vows. Correct. So that's what, so the Gemara tries to prove from the words of the Chachamim back to Rabbi Elazar that he was trying to make it not chal at all. Just to finish a sentence, says Rabbi I'm a sefer at the top of the page. So let's look at then the next words. The next word was Amar le Rabbi Elazar. They also said to Rabbi Elazar another thing. Imat bilin kli tam eli taher. If you can take a vessel which became tamei and stick it in the mikveh and it becomes tahor, is yat bilu kli tahor? Why don't you toivel it in advance? Put the kli in the mikveh now, build up credit, and then so that when it becomes later on becomes tamei, it should become tahor in advance. Just like you were saying that all the vows that she makes should become. Bottle, so it doesn't work that way. That's what they're saying. It doesn't work that way. So they're saying to Rabbi Elazar, just like it doesn't work that way, it doesn't work that way. But it doesn't work that way. But I don't either. Yeah. So from that argument that they gave is what was Rabbi Elazar trying to do? Is Shmaya Menachailin. So that's trying to say, from that expression, it's implying that Rabbi Elazar was trying to say it's chal and then it stops, just like they were comparing it to a kli. Yeah, that a kli would become tamei and then become tahor because you put it in the mikveh beforehand in advance, yeah. Which they're saying doesn't make sense, but that's the thing that they're comparing it to.
They're saying there is a hatfos of tumah for a second,
and then becomes tahor.
That came beforehand in the
tahor. Yeah, because their words are lichashay yitamei when it becomes tamei litahor, then it becomes tahor. So that sounds like Rabbi Elazar is trying to say that when the net is chal, then it gets cancelled.
Yeah, it's more a case of like you're not allowed to make nador.
From the words of the Chachamim,
the words are void.
Not even for a second does it take effect.
Okay, so from the words of the Chachamim, it sounds like it does take effect and then gets cancelled. So therefore, we have one statement of the Chachamim that implied that he's making it not take effect at all. We have another statement of the Chachamim that implies that he is saying it takes effect, but then it gets cancelled. So which is it? Is Omri? So the Gemara answers. Rabbanan lekaim elohim b'tam Rabbi Elazar. The answer is the Chachamim Taka didn't know. No, they didn't know which one he was saying. They don't know whether he meant to say it never takes effect, or did he mean to say it takes effect and is then cancelled. So they said, either way, we argue with you. Like Bill Shorten, whatever you said, I don't know what you said, but whatever it is, I don't agree. And they said to him, my sfirulach, what do you think? Is sfirulach the chaylin, ubetaylin? If you're saying that it is chal and then it's bottle, tehaveh klit yuftachad. Then we have a kash on you from why not putting a kli in a mikveh. Just like you can't put a kli in a mikveh in advance, you can't make the neder that it's chal to be cancelled in advance. And eloi sfirulach the chaylin, and if you don't think it takes effect, in other words, you're saying it doesn't take effect in the first place, is tehaveh mikveh to yuftachad. And the first one with the mikveh is a question on you. Yeah, that it's that in the mikveh it is chal when you touch the tamei frog in the frog in the mikveh. So therefore, they're saying to them, they're hedging their bets. And again, we don't know what the answer is. The Chachamim themselves didn't know the answer, it seems like. Okay, we'll leave it over here. Well, Rabbi Johnson rang me yesterday and told me, yes. Thank you.